The time is 9 a.m. on January 9th, 2024, and I am convening this video conference and telephone conference meeting of the Personnel Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the Association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of this meeting was filed on December 28, 2023, and published in the Texas Registry in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of this notice should be attached to the summary of the official minutes of this meeting. A quorum is achieved. All three members of the committee have been confirmed to be present by video. Also in attendance are General Counsel Jackie Rickson, Executive Director Bart Bowles, Association employees Jared Terry and Toppin Haggerty. Also from the Texas Department of Insurance, attending this morning is Sean Martin. Is I miss anybody?
No.
No, sir.
All right. We are ready to rock and roll. Item number one, consideration and possible action on consent agenda items, a summary of the official minutes of the July 18, 2023 meeting is first on the list. Have you had an opportunity to read that the minutes from July 18th?
I have. I would move approval.
There is, and that's by David.
Yes.
Okay. On page four, item number seven, can we
Get it right
get
in
there?
there.
If
Yes.
you look at that, it said the committee confirmed that the next meeting will be held on Tuesday, January 9, 2023. So a friendly amendment to that to change that to 2024.
Agreed.
So with that, we have a motion with a friendly amendment by David.
Second.
Is there a second? Is that you, Jim?
Yeah, second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, number two, item number two. Right. It's consideration and possible action on the benefits, compensation, and training components and the 2024 operating budget. And can you go to that? Oh, there it is. All right. Is this executive session, or are there things we can discuss in open session, board?
Most of this will be discussed in this open session. There's a small portion regarding salaries in the budget that I'll point out we will discuss in executive session.
Okay. You're up then. Thank you.
Okay, this is the summary that we routinely provide to the committee. We actually provide it twice. Once is in July when we have updated pricing on the renewals of some of our benefit plans and insurance coverages provided to employees. And then again, I'll show this again to you in January because these elements are part of our operating budget that the board of directors will consider at its meeting on January 30th. So I'm not going to go through the specific details. I'll just name the various items. Our health insurance plan and the coverage provided there. And you can see the pricing of the monthly premium and annual premium for the five association employees. I'm sorry, we don't have that many. Let's say four association employees. Then our dental insurance plan, and I always include the premiums we're paying for that and the benefits under that plan. Our long-term disability policy, and what it provides and the cost of that policy. Our term life, accidental death, and dismemberment policy, the operational summary of our 401k plan matching investing schedule. Then the 457B retirement plan that the board established in 2018 for me. And then annual accrual, carryover, sick, vacation, and personal leave. Let me mention there, this was an exceptional year. I won't provide the numbers, but I just want to make a quick comment on leave time. Because of some of the insolvency activity, which was very unique in 2023, and I'm going to talk about it in detail in executive session, every staff lost vacation time. They were not able to take all their vacation time. That's never happened. That's the first time this has happened. Some staff lost substantial vacation time. There just weren't enough hours in the day, and there weren't enough people. So we all worked a lot of extra hours in 2023, and I'll talk about that later. Association provides for 12 paid holidays annually, provides for paid parking in our underground parking garage here at the building. We have a health reimbursement arrangement that provides up to $1,500 of reimbursement of eligible medical expenses annually. Half, so 750 of that, if it's not used in a year, may be carried over and accumulated. The maximum amount that can be accumulated is $4,500.
We also, Mark, may I jump in for just a second? I'm so sorry.
Yes.
I just saw an error in there that I would like to clear up. Back on the premium for the health insurance, that number, that $3,992, was actually before the increase in October. That has now increased to $4,288 per month.
Okay.
Thank and you. Then the annual premium on that would be $51,462. I forgot to update that whenever I reviewed this.
Okay. Thank you, Jarrett. And then I mentioned quickly, we do have an education expense reimbursement policy eligible to employees. But the most important thing, let me just show you these elements, how they carry forward into the 2024 operating budget and how it compares to what was budgeted for 2023. So each one of these items, you can see the 2023 budget and any change in the 2024 budget. And what Jarrett just mentioned, you can see for the health insurance plan, that small change in the premium is reflected from 2023 to 2024. There are also very small changes in the other insurance coverages, but not substantial. And retirement plan contributions that are projected there have to do with projections in salary changes. And in the second table there, you will see the only thing I've built into currently for salary changes is a 3.2 cost of living adjustment. This is just for public disclosure. I have some other adjustments I would like to discuss with the committee in executive session. So these are the base elements regarding benefits, compensation, and training that will be in the 2024 operating budget that the board of directors will see on January 30th. Any questions on those items?
Board, my only question on the education reimbursement, have we had anyone take advantage of that since we implemented that, I believe, a couple of years ago?
Yes, we've had one.
Okay.
And Jarrett did some training and got an additional degree and is considering sitting for the CPA exam. And that may require a CPA review course. And we have been talking about that. But he's one of the people that there are not enough hours in the day.
And I did get the CPA review course, and you guys did pay for a portion of that through this program.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Jarrett, for taking advantage of that and furthering your education. So it's a great benefit. I'm glad we have it, and I'm very proud that you've taken advantage of it.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this item? There's no action required. This is just a reporting item.
Okay. All right. Well, we're on number three, which will be an executive session. So,
Well, let's introduce it in general.
Okay. Thank you.
And then we can have some specific discussion in executive session, if you don't mind. So I just wanted to review the process that was used for the annual performance or annual evaluation of my performance. And all directors participate in this and independently complete an evaluation of my 2023 performance. General Counsel Rickson distributed the form. Personnel Committee Chair Huckabee accumulated the forms and prepared the compilation. Although it doesn't say that here, I have Mix Rickson assembling it, but it was actually assembled by James Huckabee. And then Chair Huckabee sent that to Jackie Rickson, and she distributed it confidentially, the compilation, distributed it confidentially to all of the directors. And it will also be distributed, well, first of all, the committee, then we'll go to all the directors before the January 30th board meeting. Jackie, is there anything on the process that you think we need to talk about here or you'd like to describe?
No, I don't think so, Bart. I do want to make it clear, though, that I only sent the compilation to the committee at this point, not to the full board, with the idea that the full board will get it in advance of the board meeting. So, and Mr. Huckabee is a great person to work on these kinds of things because he's so organized and so on the ball. So, thank you.
Well, thank you, Jackie, for sending it out. And one thing, we don't have to do it today, but we might need to reevaluate the date that is due. I believe it was due December 15th this year. And with the holiday travel time, that created some problems for challenges for several directors. So we might want to review that date at our January board meeting and just see if it's if we need to do it a little bit earlier. But we can address that and just have a survey the board in a couple of weeks to see if there is another date, an earlier date that would work.
Okay, I've made a note of that. We'll bring that up with the board. So, Chair Huckabee, that is just the summary of the process, and the detailed discussion will be held in executive session.
Okay. Ms. Toppin, so when...
We're not ready yet, though.
Okay, not ready. Keep going.
Yeah, there's several other things we're going to review and then take all of them up in executive session.
All right, Jim, if you continue. Boy, I'm sorry.
Okay. So item four is a summary of various elements in my executive employment deferred compensation contract. There are several reporting items here. There also is an action item for the committee to consider. That action will not be taken until after an executive session discussion. And there is a recommended resolution that I have moved to after executive session with a blank for the committee to fill in its action. So let me walk through the reporting items. First, this executive employment deferred compensation contract, of course, was put in place in 2018. So we've just finished the sixth of 9 years of this contract. One of the things required annually, and this is done every January, that I am supposed to report any employment or activities engaged in by the executive director, that to ensure they don't interfere with my ability to carry out my job functions and duties here. I was approached this year to do a contract liquidation of an insolvency in another state, but because of our insolvency activity, I told that person that I could not work as receiver and liquidate that company. It would not have been a conflict because that company is not licensed in Texas. It's a single state company, only licensed actually in New York. But with the other insolvency activity, it would have interfered with my job duties here, so I declined. So I have not done any additional engagements or contract work during 2023. The only additional work I'm doing is I do serve on the board of directors of IAIR, and I chair several committees for IAIR, but those duties don't interfere with my responsibilities and duties here. If anything, they complement them. So that's my disclosure about other employment and activities. Questions on that? All right, the compensation elements in the executive employment and deferred compensation contract. The contract does have an annual cost of living adjustment, and it is an automatic adjustment. I do assemble the Social Security Administration's press release that comes out each October, and I send that to the Personnel Committee as an FYI. Here's what the cost of living increase is. And let me go to it real quick. Here was the news release this year on October 12th from the Social Security Administration announcing that the cost of living adjustment for 2024 will be 3.2%. This is significantly less than last year's, which was 8.7%. So that 3.2% increase was applied to my base compensation as of January 1st, 2024. Next item, longevity incentive payment. The EEDCC, to use its acronym, contains three longevity incentive payments. So one was in, let me think of the dates. I know 2023 and 2026. I think the first one was in 2020. That's right. 2020, one longevity incentive payment. Another one was scheduled for December of 2023, and another one will be scheduled for December of 2026. I did not put the amount in here. We can talk about it in executive session. But the committee did review that provision of the EEDCC during its July meeting and looked at the requirements to see if I'd fully comply with those requirements to be eligible to receive that payment. And the committee did not only feel that I did, but they reported to the board that I'd fully comply with all the requirements. So in December, that longevity incentive payment was made, and I did receive it. Questions on that? Okay. The next item is an action item. As I said, we'll talk about it in detail after you talk about my evaluation in executive session. But there is a 457B payment. It has two aspects of it. An automatic aspect, which is an $18,500 contribution, and that is to be made each January into my 457B plan. But there is a discretionary element that should the Internal Revenue Service increase the amount that can be contributed annually into the 457B, that any amount of that increase above $18,500 may be considered by the committee and recommended to the board for an additional discretionary contribution. So I will move to that notice. The IRS published this notice on November 1st that says for 457B plans, they have increased the maximum annual contribution to $23,000. So that would be an additional $4,500 from the automatic contribution of $18,500 in the EEDCC. So, get back. Sorry, I go kind of quick there. I just wanted you to see how this is worded in the EEDCC, what the requirements are. It says I have received at least an average rating of 4 on all job performance factors in my annual performance review for the period immediately prior to such payment date, which would be for 2023. And the annual audit of the Guaranty Association's financial statements for the calendar year preceding the calendar year of the payment did not reveal any material misstatements or significant deficiencies. The audit that was conducted last spring by our outside independent CPA firm did not identify any material misstatements or significant deficiencies. So this is depending on the results of the performance evaluation, I would be eligible for an additional contribution, but that will be discussed in executive session. Any questions on that? And that's will be my final comments on this item.
No questions for me. Other committee members?
Nope.
All right.
Okay. So we have one final item to talk about, I think, before we get into executive session. Chair Huckabee? I'm sorry, we have two items, two further items.
All right.
One is the engagement of a consultant to perform a compensation study. This requires just a little bit of explanation from me. The compensation study's intent is to look at the job description and duties for each staff position, not to look at the performance of any specific individual. These are to look at the positions themselves and the job duties and see, is the salary range established for that position appropriate, or would it warrant some change? So when these studies have been conducted in the past, 2004, 2012, and 2020, what it looked at is the duties and responsibilities, the requirements, the experience, the skill levels of the positions. How does that compare to the marketplace here in Austin? And is it competitive and is it appropriate? So as you can see, between 2012, 2020, 12 and 2020, it's 8 years each time. Why am I coming back in 2024, only 4 years later, and asking for another one? First, it's a very dynamic marketplace here in Austin, and it's changing drastically. And I would feel much more comfortable to have an updated compensation study to see, are we still competitive? The second item, as you will hear, and we're discussing in the next agenda item today, we're in a transitional period for management. And that can create some discomfort among staff. And I think having an updated compensation study and salary ranges for all positions very current would introduce a measure of stability among the staff. And the third reason, as we move forward to find my replacement in 3 years, this is just one item the next executive director can look at and say, I don't need to do that for a couple of years. That's one thing off that person's plate. They're going to have enough transition to address to get comfortable in the position. So I feel it would be warranted to do the compensation study. The timing would be, if you agree we should pursue that this year, we would assemble an RFP, distribute it this spring, gather proposals, and bring them back to you at your July 16th meeting. If you feel one of those proposals is appropriate and you recommend engagement to the board, they approve, then we would begin work after that July meeting with the consultant, work through that in the fall, bring back a study with the results to you in January of 2025. So this would all be conducted during 2024, bring you in 2025. If there are adjustments that are recommended in the study, you feel they are warranted, you recommend them to the board. And if the board approves those, it would be in their January meeting. Those would take effect January 1st, 2025. So that is what I'm recommending, but I would entertain any questions.
So in the documentation, it says during 2024 or 2025, are you recommending 2024?
Yes.
Okay.
There are going to be enough other activities in 2025. I'd rather get them done now with some of the transitional issues we have to deal with in other positions. 2025 is going to get kind of full.
Okay.
But I wanted to, it's always, we'll do what you want. If you want
to. Yeah. I just wanted to know if you had an argument, you feel 2024 would be a better approach.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Any further questions on that? Jim, any questions Mr. Lewis?
No.
Okay.
Okay,
Hi,
here.
Boyd, is there another item you have
Yes,
before?
one final item that's
Okay.
an introductory item. This is talk about succession plans.
Okay.
And as General Counsel Rickson and I have discussed with you, she and I both have plans to retire. And what we agreed is between the two of us, we would do this in a very coordinated fashion, where the transition, the onboarding, and I guess allowing a new person to come in and get settled is very measured, planned, and supported. We don't want to throw anybody in with no support. So we have come up with an initial guide or set of timeline for each position. And I want to introduce these today and then mention where there are going to need to be some decisions made along the way about the process. So this is the first stage to give big picture timeline we're looking at and where the process needs to be refined. And over the next, between now really in the July meeting, we can refine it a little bit further. And this is going to also involve a discussion with the board, the full board of directors on January 30th. So if I may, Jackie, I'm going to touch on a few highlights on your timeline. And then at any point, please, you chime in as well. But one of the primary intents here is Jackie will be retiring before me so I can support the board in the search, the interviewing, the selection, the engagement, and the transition of a new general counsel. So what we're looking at it first quarter of 2024, Jackie is going to update her job description, her duties and requirements. Actually, she's already done that. And I have a draft for me to review and talk with Jackie. So we've already started that ball rolling. Then we need to determine the level of board involvement. Should this go through the personnel committee? Should it go through the executive committee? Will the board want to use some type of specific ad hoc search committee? But that is always up to the board. After that decision is made, we will evaluate the options for identifying candidates. That may be, Jackie, why don't you discuss this and let me be quiet for a moment?
Okay.
You're very qualified, and how are we going to find someone? So.
Well, I so one of the things is, with filling a position like this, I mean, one of the options is that you just post a job posting everywhere you can think of and see what happens. And that may be something that is a good idea to do anyway, but I think I've got a lot of contacts in Austin, Austin lawyers, and so I think we could, or I could contact my various contacts and basically let them know that I'm going to be retiring and ask them if they know anyone who they think might be interested and qualified in the position, and really just to start getting the word out there, and then getting perhaps a list of names as well. And then I think with other professional colleagues, so I know we deal with a fair number of actuaries who also deal with attorneys, and they might have some ideas about that. And our colleagues at TDI might also have some suggestions. And there might be other people that come to mind as well. And then I would say I would recommend doing that no matter what else we do or the board decides to do as far as this search, and making it clear that the fact that we're asking for someone's input doesn't mean anything other than that. Then the other thing is, the board could use a more formal approach with a search firm. At first blush, to me, that does not seem to be necessary, but the board might feel differently about that. And then I think there could be some hybrid, of those two that could be used. And when I what I'm really thinking of there is, would it be desirable or helpful to have somebody assist with locating candidates, or would it be helpful to have somebody assist in the interviewing and background checking and that kind of thing? So I think you've got a lot of
Thank you,
options
Jackie.
there.
That's very good.
Well,
Let me finish off the rest of the items and see if there's questions on this entire process. So that's kind of what we've outlined we could do in the first quarter of this year. The timeline, of
I
course,
say
makes
something real quick?
yes.
It sure seems like the idea of people Bart knows, Jackie knows, TDI knows would lead to some good candidates, especially if there are people that Bart, Jackie, or TDI, think highly of. I'd put more credit in that than a search firm, just my opinion.
Well, Jim, you are saying exactly what I feel, and I think Jackie and I have discussed, but we wanted to make sure that the board knows all these options are on the table, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And I wanted to have a nice record that we considered all these options and decided to go.
Just
I
y'all have
think
been
you're
in it so long. The and like, boy, I tell you what, I consulted an actuary back when I had a legal issue with a when we bought Andrew Jackson out of receivership. And they recommended an attorney in, oh gosh, I don't even remember where they were, but it's one of the best attorneys I ever worked with. So the ask, I'm not saying that that'd yield the same thing, but asking actuaries too would be a good suggestion.
Well, there's a couple of things here. When we talk about the requirements of the position, there's some very basic legal skills and experience required, but the knowledge of the insolvency process,
Yeah.
the Texas legislative process, we have a lot of contacts within the insolvency community nationally and in Texas, and we think that's going to be a valuable resource or trying to identify possible candidates. But we want to have this full discussion with the committee and with the board.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just weighing in that I like what you said. I thought that was a good idea.
Let me finish off the timeline. So that's Q1. Second and third quarters of this year, we want to distribute this request for interest and begin to receive applications and evaluate those. Do some screening and background checks, and then have the interview process, which may be multiple interviews. And it's going to depend on it, a lot of it, scheduling and also the level of board involvement, who does those interviews. And then the fourth quarter, once we believe we can identify a candidate, final negotiations and engagement, and then beginning the onboarding and transition. That would continue into 2025 with the target. We'll say this right, Jackie. Jackie would continue to support the onboarding and transition through the first quarter of 2025. Is that correct?
Yes, and actually I would really do that for a longer period of time as needed. The way I explain this to Bart is I think there's a lot of the work that I do that you just got to jump in there and start doing it. And I would certainly be willing to be available, like for the new person to call me and say, okay, this is the first time I've ever, dealt with early access. Tell me about this thing. What is it? So I wouldn't be actually doing a lot of drafting of documents or anything like that, but I would certainly be willing to, provide kind of, I guess a way to describe that would be the mentorship aspect of somebody coming into a job where they might have good legal skills, but not be as familiar with receivership and the Guarantee Association. So I don't want to say, there's a hard stop on March 31st. And I'm flexible on that. Similarly, if you all or the board wants to speed up the timeline and get somebody hired before the fourth quarter of this year, that is fine with me as well. So, I think it's helpful to have a deadline, and the end of the year is convenient for many reasons. But if you all want it to be sooner than that, then that would be fine with me too.
Jackie, let me, well, certainly your service has been extremely valuable to our organization, and the thoughts that you and you put into this succession steps, I think is outstanding. My question is, as we look at quarter four with holidays and vacations and those type things, if there was a perfect date during the fourth quarter, with that, what would that look like? Would that target maybe be October 1, November 1? And your willingness to continue working with us during transition, we definitely are appreciative of that. But what would be the target date if we wanted best case scenario?
I think best case scenario would be so that the new person could attend the October committee meetings and October board meeting,
Okay.
while I'm there too. Yeah. And I would say if that doesn't work out that way, I would be fine to work out some arrangement where I'm, still around for those meetings in January. However the board would, want to handle that.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, so that is the plan and the timeline preliminarily for identification, engagement, and onboarding of a new general counsel. So the next would be for my position, and it's very similar. It's just delayed a year. So, and we would not kick this off until 2025. Q1 and Q2, same thing, update my job description duties and requirements, and determine who would be involved, what level of board involvement would be doing this, look at possible candidates and how to select them. This might be a little different. We're going to board of directors suggestions. A lot of executive director positions in the Guaranty Association community, by the way, there have been 20, I think there were 28, maybe almost 30 in the last 3 years on the Liefeld side that have been replaced. Many of those were advertised in the NOLA Wire, or use a search firm. So there's a number of different ways you could pursue this. And then also then develop how the interviews would be conducted. Third and fourth quarters of 2025, similarly, screening, background checks, interviews, and follow-up interviews. And then in 2026, I believe the first quarter of 2026 would be the ideal time to try to engage the new executive director. And my rationale in that, and there are two aspects here. It's a little bit of a redundancy and a cost for the association, but I think you might be well served to bring someone on early in 2026 and have them serve with me for the remainder of 2026. Because activities arise at regular intervals throughout the year, and they can see how to plan and how they fit together and how to address them as they arise. Plus, some opportunities to attend meetings of the national organization, NEIC, other things like that, to see how this association interacts in that community. And just there are a lot of documentation and items to walk through. So I built up the second, third, and fourth quarters of 2026 to be a shadow period. So Jackie mentioned mentorship. I don't know if I would mentor anyone. I'll just show them where stuff is, okay, and how we do certain things. But that would be my recommendation. The committee can do it in any way. Jackie mentioned that she would be available, on beyond this targeted timeline. I will be too, just not every day. So after 2026, I could remain available to answer questions and provide some support, just not every day. So that is the timeline, and I'll take questions.
I guess the only way I'd recommend editing this is in 2024 to get some recommendations from Jackie before she leaves. I think she's like you, worked with enough of the people to probably have some ideas.
Sure, no problem.
We'll add that to the list. Thank you, Jim.
So one other thing that's not on here that's not actually it's related to this, but not part of this succession is the board retaining an employment counsel to deal with the executive director's relationship with the board and compensation elements. And I know there was a brief discussion of that at the October board meeting. But I think that probably should be something to add to the list of professionals for the board to retain. And my suggestion would be to do that sooner rather than later, so that in the unlikely event there is something that comes up, you're not scrambling to find somebody.
I can't remember. Did we use one when we negotiated with you, Bart, on
No,
your last?
the personnel committee, primarily James and
Robin.
Robin and Shelby. Negotiated.
Okay.
That was really the group.
Yeah, Jim, to speak to your comment, back in January 2017, we did contract with the firm, but the information we received and how they approached the salary for the executive director, I know that the committee was not pleased with what they presented. Because of the lack of understanding of what we do and what our executive director performs. And so that's when we just rolled our sleeves up, met several times, I think maybe at Lovefield Airport and somewhere else, and we came up with the compensation plan that we have now for board. But and it wasn't a lot of money. I think it was maybe around 10 grand, but the information that they provided us just wasn't a good fit for what we do and what we were trying to accomplish at that time.
Was that the kind of thing you are comfortable doing, Jackie?
I would say no, Jim, mostly because this is really not my, area of expertise. So I'm thinking of this from the standpoint of executive compensation and executive, contracts
Benefits.
and arrangements, which I think is a fairly specialized area. And I don't know who was involved in 2017 other than the personnel committee and Shelby, but I think we could, without too much difficulty, find, an attorney, and I can think of a couple of people here who I think would be able to fill that role. And from the standpoint of, providing the legal advice, not and drafting of any documents that might be necessary, not to take over the process.
Yeah.
Jim, just to give you a little feedback from the other side of the coin, when negotiating with the personnel committee, I did engage my own personal compensation consultant that was specifically working in the executive compensation area. And it is a very specialized field. And it was an educational moment for me to learn of the various options, opportunities, structure. So there's a lot of things that could be put out there for the board. Here's the way you may want to look at the benefits, compensation, and program you offer to a new executive director. So there is some specialty here that should be considered.
I
Plus,
assume it's not the kind of thing, the little a targeted short-term thing that Shelby would want to do, right?
I have no idea.
Okay.
What does Noga published a any type of salary compensation survey of the executive directors and provide that information?
No.
Okay.
But I will say this, Jim, there are other sources out there. Since all the guaranty associations are required to file a 990 with the
Yeah.
IRS, those are public documents. There is an entity called GuideStar.
Right.
So GuideStar.com, anyone can sign up for that free charge. I have an account on GuideStar.com. I go look at other guaranty associations' 990s to see how they are reporting things. And sometimes it's very clear if the exec director is an employee, you can see what their compensation is. For example, on mine, the whole world can go out there and look and see exactly what I was compensated. But on some of the others where it is a contracted position, it's not as easy to see. But that is one resource that you can go look.
Okay.
And there was a few other things that I might offer, but we can talk about that later.
Okay. Thank you.
One benefit of a search firm is if they've done similar searches, and so they know the market and what potential candidates are out there. Do you know if other guarantee associations have used search firms recently?
I don't know about search firms. I know they have done a lot of this comparative. I know that some have engaged consultants to do, I'll call it like specific surveys where they will go in and they'll go to 8 or 10 guarantee associations and say, would you be willing to provide this information
I was
to
kind
the
of changing
executive?
subjects. I wasn't talking about compensation. I was talking about identifying potential candidates.
Oh,
You know,
I
having.
don't know. I don't know of any that have used search firms. I know of
Okay.
some
Okay.
that have done this shotgun blast. Let's put it out there in the Noga Wire.
Yeah.
I can tell you this, David. I was called last year by the general counsel of a guaranty association. Their board chair knows me and said, "I'd like you, Bart, to give us your resume and interview for this position to do it on a contract basis." So there's a lot of that word of mouth. It's a fairly tight-knit group. Everyone knows each
Yeah.
other.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I assume the Noga Wire can be accessed by people who just attend Noga meetings, not just members or whatever.
It's not quite the circulation of a newspaper, but it's pretty broadly circulated. So
Yeah.
you're talking to all the guaranty associations, their boards of directors, consultants, regulators. It's a very broad circulation.
Yeah.
And the other thing is there's also website postings. So the whole world can see those kind of things for you to consider. So there's a number of different ways to come up with candidates. And Chair Huckabee, this was the last item before we go to executive session for your planning purposes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Happen when you are ready.
Okay, so there
Open
is
the
language
meeting.
you need to read for us while we're still in public session, and then I will pause this recording.
The time is 9:49 a.m. on January 9th, 2024, and I am recessing the regular session of the Personnel Committee meeting of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association in order for the committee to meet an executive session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. The time is 10:46 a.m. on January 9th, 2024. The executive session of the personnel committee of the meeting of this meeting has concluded, and I'm reconvening the regular session of the personnel committee meeting pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. We're on item number 8, and there is a resolution on the 457B plan payment to the executive director. I will give everybody an opportunity. Let me read it quickly. Question here, we do not reveal the specific amount, is that correct?
No, you can plug in the amount.
Okay, so the resolution that's before you, we're going to, based on the performance of the executive director and the employment agreement and deferred compensation contract, we're recommending a payment in January 2024 to Barge 457B in the amount of $23,000, which is the IRS 2024 maximum contribution for this year. Is there a second?
I second, David Sommer.
Are it all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. All right. Motion carries. Next, we're finally down to the calendar. It's on page 92 and 93 of the activities. So take a moment and look at the calendar and see if there's any conflicting days that you know of. Our next meeting is July the 16th.
Yes.
Tuesday. Okay, 2024. Thank you. All right. So are we all good with that, July 16, 2024?
Yes.
Okay.
And Chair Huckabee, that's all we have for you today.
Okay. All right. The time is 10:49 a.m. on January 9th, 2024. And this meeting of the Personnel Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association that had been held to pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act is adjourned.